Moses came down from the hill, holding the rules in his hand. Looked all around, suddenly found no one was listening. Now it's time to throw down, so throw down. Throw down. Well, throw down. Throw down.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips, sit on your butt and munch. I am your host, Landon Doan, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, my tag team partner, if you will, Rab Back, Will Rab.
Feed me chicken.
Yeah, I'm not too pleased with the Rab Back. That's a pretty terrible name.
I would have to agree.
Well, at least we're being honest about a minute into the podcast.
At least we're trying to keep that going. Like, you just randomly decided to do that, I think, on the first or second podcast. At least we're trying to...
Yeah, we're putting forth the effort, but as anybody who is creative knows, or pretends to be creative like we do, being creative is hard.
Just like saying Lucifer is hard,
yeah,
apparently.
Skip Sheffield says hi, by the way. We'll get to that here in a second. It's been a hot minute since... we've joined you as Near Fall Radio. Hopefully you've been following us on Twitter, at Near Fall Radio, twitter.com/Near Fall Radio. We've been live tweeting last couple episodes of Raw, as well as Extreme Rules, which,
yes.
I guess that's where we should start. Since we've last joined you, we've had a pay-per-view. It was Extreme Rules, for those of you playing along at home. And it's been a couple weeks, so we're not going to wax poetic or, you know, go in detail on it, because you've watched a couple episodes of Raw, and you've probably read some reports online where you can do that, but we're just going to give you our opinions. I only want to touch on two matches, but Rab, what were your thoughts on Extreme Rules?
Thought it was the best pay-per-view I've seen this year from the WWE, and I can sit, well, I guess that would be this year, because the Rumble was starting in January.
Yes, the Royal Rumble is generally held in January.
Whatever, I had a Ryback, had a brain fart.
You had a Ryback?
Yeah.
Is that something we're going to try and make a thing?
I don't, probably not.
All right, hashtag had a Ryback.
It would work.
It would be better than his actual catchphrase, Ryback rules.
Yeah, had a Ryback. But I thought the Rumble was decent. I thought Elimination Chamber was decent. I like the swerve of Swagger winning that.
Classic Swags.
Yeah, classic Swags. WrestleMania was only about a C for me. This kind of average, not bad, not good, but good time.
Well, that would
out.
Be average, not
yeah.
good, not bad.
And I thought Extreme Rules really delivered.
I have to agree with you, and it's kind of aggravating because I did swallow the price of admission for WrestleMania. I paid the, 70 to .com or whatever. So it's kind of aggravating to me that I paid $70 and the next pay-per-view after the supposed World Series, granddaddy of them all, Super Bowl, the pay-per-view afterwards was better than that. Now maybe that's just on us being wrestling fans building up Mania bigger than it actually is. Maybe in our brains we think, oh, this is Mania, so it has to meet X, Y, and Z expectations, and some years that just isn't feasible.
It should, if that's your biggest show, it should be really, really good, though, and we should hold it to a high standard because of its legacy. And because, like you said, it costs $70.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but at the same time, it's like, unfortunately, this has felt like a pattern over the last few years. And I still enjoyed Mania. I would have given it a B, maybe. Did it meet my every expectations? No, but I mean, it was still a good card. But at the same time, Extreme Rules was a much better card for whatever reason.
It was, and right off the bat. And I kind of like that they didn't force a gimmick on Jericho Fandango into a gimmick match.
Yeah, it was just a straight-up
match.
And
they didn't force a gimmick onto the U.S. title match that wasn't warranted.
Exactly.
And they've done that in the past, and we've talked about that.
Well, and actually, I'm with you in that camp. I'm glad they didn't throw a gimmick on those two matches, because in a night where every match is a gimmick match, it's nice to kind of just take a breath, be like, okay, we don't have to worry about somebody getting a chair wrapped around his head this match. We don't have to worry about somebody, you know, falling 15 feet through a table or...
Yeah, like, in the past, I've watched Extreme Rules, and I think it was the year that Lawler and... who am I thinking of?
Cole?
Jim, Cole had their feud and Jim Ross had the tag team match.
Yep.
That was at Extreme Rules. And
I'd like to point out that Michael Cole is undefeated at Extreme Rules.
He is.
And undefeated at WrestleMania.
Yeah, indeed he is.
Cole Miner,
there we go. Much to the chagrin of many people, including myself, who has a deep respect for Jerry Lawler, but whatever. Glad he's alive.
Yes, no kidding.
I remember watching that and seeing, I want to say like Cody Rhodes and Rey Mysterio or somebody in a street fight, and just in a street fight just because it was Extreme Rules. And it was a really good street fight match. It was in Tampa, and they fought all through the concourse and threw soda at each other, and a really good match, but it was just because it was Extreme Rules.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like a couple episodes ago we were talking about the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, and be like, all right, well, this match is a Hell in a Cell just because it's the pay-per-view Hell in a Cell. Not because the gimmick or the feud warrants it, just because it happens to be September or whenever the Hell in a Cell is.
But really like kicking it off with Jericho and Fandango because you knew you were going to get a good match out of that. Jericho's
a
good
very,
worker.
Very good match.
And it's important to lead strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you set the tone correctly.
You don't want to always get in that rut of kicking, because they did it for a while. They would put one of the B championships on first.
World Heavyweight Championship says hi.
Yeah. You don't want to get in that rut and be that predictable.
Well, and there for a while, people on the internet were predicting whenever there was a pay-per-view. I saw a lot of websites would be like, they would have their staff picks for pay-per-views, and in the notations, they'd be like, and this is my pick to start to kick off the card. And it was almost always the World Heavyweight Championship match.
It built perfect, though. Jericho and Fandango was a good match. And then you had the U.S. Championship match, which I think was anticipated as the Shield was separated for one of the first times.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys going after gold and being hot in the company. And I don't know if the hottest heels, but one of
they're starting to get there. It's like there's... And I'm hesitant to throw this out there, but they're starting to get that NWO feel to them. Not for the fact that, you know, they're going to start taking over the show and it's going to be called, like, Monday Night Shield or some crap. I'm saying they're getting that NWO feel to them where they're such awesome bad guys, everybody's starting to cheer for them. They're good at what they do.
They've talked about it the whole time, and now they have that title, which takes them to the next level because they all have titles. And that's power, storyline-wise, in the business.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's funny. We were talking about back before WrestleMania whether or not they were going to, you know, let Ziggler, Langston, and AJ go on a gold sweep. Well, they let the Shield go on a gold sweep.
I think that, and obviously now it had to be, but...
Yes, which we will get to the latest on Dolph Ziggler.
I hope this isn't the end of Ziggler's and Fun Time.
Well, I sent out the tweet on Monday, which if you're not following us on Twitter...
You should be.
Yeah, you should be. Twitter.com/NearFallRadio. We've been live tweeting the last few episodes of Raw, including Extreme Rules. That isn't an episode of Raw. I was saying, including Extreme Rules. But I made the comment after AJ and Big E kind of got in each other's face. Is this the end of Ziggler's and Fun Time? Clearly it isn't, but at the same time, it's kind of confusing where they're going with this because, well, that's the thing. It's like they might have planned out point A, B, and C, but with Ziggler being up on the shelf for going on close to a month now, mm-hmm. they're having to audible.
Looking like he's going to be back anytime soon. He's not cleared.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and say this as of yesterday, May 28th, Dolph Ziggler has yet to be cleared to return to the ring, despite being advertised for upcoming WWE and then SmackDown tapings.
You think they're going to have to act soon?
I don't know. I mean,
because Punk was hurt for a while.
But Punk was hurt for like a couple weeks.
They didn't take his title from him, and I'm not saying that they should have. I'm not a belt mark.
But
he was able to show up to TV and still do TV because he could hop out there and cut a promo. Ziggler's is...
Well, I mean, with the concussion, especially with the... apparently, this is a pretty severe concussion with how long he's been laid up. I mean, with a concussion, you can't even travel.
No, he's... For lack of a... He's useless to the company right now.
But that's to the company. I want to say, if the WWE is listening, hold out Dolph Ziggler as long as you need to make sure he is healthy.
Yes.
Because, yeah, it might you know, screw up your storyline going forward. But at the same time, you know what would be, you know what would screw up your storyline even more? If Dolph Ziggler can never wrestle again, because you rush him back out there and he takes an awkward bump. So let Dolph Ziggler take
like
as
Edge
much.
Do.
Exactly. Well, or Edge had neck problems. I mean,
well, this
he could turn into Troy Aikman.
You get what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I totally get what you're getting at, and hopefully you, the listener, does as well. It's like Dolph Ziggler needs time to let his brain heal, because I'm no Scientologist, but I'm pretty sure you can't live without a brain.
No, you can't. I would even not be upset if he needs to be off long term if they take the title from him. If he's going to come back 100%, because it takes a long time to come back from a concussion sometimes.
Oh, it does. I suffered a concussion my last semester in college, and I had multiple professors come to me and say, just based on concussion recovery, if you have to drop out of this semester, I totally understand. Of course, I didn't, because it's like, so if I dropped out, that means I would have to come back for another semester of college. Yeah, fuck that. I'm going to go to class even if I don't remember math.
But no, Extreme Rules was really good. I really liked that strap match. That was one of my favorite
that
matches.
That was a fun match.
Title matches. Clearly the best was the Last Man Standing match, which ended in a no contest.
Bump
of the night.
Bump of the year so far.
Ooh,
that was such an amazing end segment.
And the IWC crapping all over that, but I think that's what they live for, is to crap on things. They're a big, giant anus.
Which I'm not going to disagree with you too much, though. I would like to say hello to our listeners of the IWC. We appreciate your listenership and downloads.
I appreciate you listening. I'm still gonna make fun of you.
Yeah. Just like we'll call WWE to task when they need to be, we'll also call the IWC to task when they need to be.
We're the shield of internet podcasts. We stand for integrity and justice.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
I thought that was good.
Believe in the butt munch.
Believe in the butt munch. That needs to be trending worldwide.
Hashtag believe in the butt munch. Right behind hashtag, and hashtag pound sign. Twitter jokes. Catch them. You can find more of those at twitter.com/nearfallradio.
But anyway, talk about the Cena Ryback match. Is that the most hardcore match ever? No.
No.
Was it really good? Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was a very fun match.
They beat they script beat the crap out of each other, and then they did that. That was a perfect way to end that, because there was no reason to end that feud off yet.
Exactly.
And it made all sorts of controversy because they both got counted out in a last man standing match. So it was perfect.
And that's the thing, especially with the ending. You hit it perfectly.
I hate to cut you off there, but it kind of reminded me of something they would do in the Attitude Era, which everybody's clamoring for, is they did a big bump. I mean, they put John Cena through a light bulb. An LED panel.
Yeah. John Cena got driven through a wall.
Think about this. They put the company through a wall.
Yeah.
And he took he took a bump.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, one of my favorite bumps of the night happened like 5 minutes before that, when Ryback grabbed the door for the hockey panel, the door to the penalty
the
box.
Bitch.
Yeah, he picked him up, or he picked that up and slammed it into John Cena. So for all intents and purposes, he reverse checked John Cena. I really liked that.
That was a really good match, and that's right now. That's my match of the year.
This is a young year, but I can't disagree with that.
That was that, and then I only have two. I think would be that and the Punk Taker match.
Punk and Taker was good. I would have to go back and watch those two side to side to say this match is better than the other one.
Well, those are the early nominees. So far, early nominees for failure of the year would be our, I guess, what would have been the main event from Extreme Rules. And I'm just going to let you take that, because we pretty much agree.
Well, to say it was failure of the year is pretty harsh. Let me say this about the Ryback Cena match. Part of the reason I liked that match so much was because those two were breaking out moves that, like, you don't see on a Monday Night Raw, when John Cena just breaks out the five moves. John Cena broke out a powerbomb. When was the last time you saw him powerbomb somebody?
Those guys...
I even said it on Twitter. With all apologies to Brock Lesnar, Ryback is bringing the pain. Because on that Sunday, dude's offense was powerful and it was impactful.
You don't have to like what led up to it to make the feud or not. I kind of liked it. I got it. Ryback, you know, tried to be the good guy, and he got left behind.
Yeah, several times.
Well, because The Rock showed up.
Well, yeah.
Ryback got his opportunity, but we all knew The Rock was coming back.
Exactly.
At the Royal Rumble, and we knew Ryback wasn't ready to be champion, so they did the whole thing with the Shield, and he never got his justice.
Yeah, Ryback was the flavor of the month for November and December, but we all knew Dwayne was coming around the first of the year.
Yeah, so whatever. They made a semi-legit beef for him and made a reason for him to turn on Cena. And I'm not sure if it's full heel because there's enough people in the crowd that don't like Cena, but that's perfect. When there's enough people who can like Ryback and enough people who can like Cena, and then they can fight each other and everybody has somebody to root for.
Yeah, that is true.
And they were able to make it where those guys just don't like each other. And then they sold that 2 weeks ago.
It was a fantastic matchup. I really enjoyed it. But you were talking about the Triple H and Brock Lesnar in a cage match. And this match.
Maybe failure is kind of hard because they didn't execute it wrong.
Yeah, well, you gave the perfect analogy. It's like two superstar football players running a play. They just happened to get a bad play. My biggest complaint of that matchup was, 4 or 5 minutes into the match, they started hard selling a Brock Lesnar leg injury to where he was like limping around, hobbling on his knee for the entire matchup, which really takes away from Brock Lesnar's appeal. Brock Lesnar needs to stand upright and just beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, that I
deliver power move after power move, and especially when he's going after somebody like Triple H.
If they had not built that card like they had for Extreme Rules, which is a really good card, they could have put 7 crap matches, and John Cena could have been in a tuxedo match for the WWE Championship. I would have bought Extreme Rules because I was sold on the Cerebral Assassin versus Brock Lesnar.
No, Brock Lesnar.
My client.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, that's what I was sold on, that two of the baddest dudes on the planet, because Brock Lesnar's a legit bad dude because he went to the UFC and beat the crap out of people for real.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H.
For real.
For real. Well, we all know that wrestling is scripted.
It is?
It's entertainment.
What?
Triple H has built this Cerebral Assassin.
He's the game.
The game persona. And we all know the Triple H likes to hurt people. That's what makes him happy. He wakes up.
He's gonna squash him.
He doesn't eat Wheaties. He eats bones, so to speak.
Or if that's that episode of The Simpsons, he eats teeth.
Whatever. he lives off of pain, and they're just gonna. And he's wrestling a guy whose slogan is "Here comes the pain,"
and who legitimately brings his slogan.
They're in a steel cage. All they need to do is beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, just stand upright for 30 minutes, throwing haymaker after haymaker, throwing kitchen sink after kitchen sink. That's what people wanted to see.
I loved how they brought in the sledgehammer, because you're always going to see that in a Triple H match.
Well, of course. It's like Triple H bingo. The center square is sledgehammer, and you get it for free.
Yeah, but it was creative. It was hidden in the cage.
I did like how the sledgehammer was like camouflaged, like spray painted silver. It's like,
hey,
okay,
yeah,
all right,
that was good. And then you got Paul Heyman there, and he interfered, and that's always good. Paul Heyman getting a pedigree is good for business.
Oh, absolutely, but at the same time, it's like,
they had a couple good elements they could have worked with. But they ran the injury play.
Yeah, okay, so you actually watched Brock in the UFC, right?
Yes.
Was Brock at all a submission person?
The only time, I mean, you have to be prepared for that in the UFC.
Well, no, I know you have to have it in your repertoire,
is he considered
a submission person?
The only time.
Exactly.
I can remember him using what I guess would technically be a submission because it was a hold, was he fought Shane Carwin for the heavyweight championship 4th of July back a couple years ago, or 4th of July weekend, when he was still in UFC. And in the second round, he won. He choked out Shane Carwin. I mean, it didn't put him to sleep. Shane tapped.
Yeah.
But he put him in a chokehold.
Okay.
But that wasn't his game.
Okay, well, and speaking of the game, that is not Triple H's game either.
No.
He's not a submission person. My question is, why 5 minutes into the match do you take away one of Brock Lesnar's legs and you turn it into just a cell fest for this leg? Why couldn't these two just stand toe-to-toe with each other and just bludgeon each other?
I don't know if this is Vince's perception of the UFC, or if, because Paul Heyman has watched and been a part of the MMA culture since literally 94 when it started. The people who distributed UFC back in the day almost bought ECW at one point because they wanted to distribute ECW pay-per-views and they were going to buy the company.
That's a what-if right there.
Yeah. And he's suggesting to do that. They want to sell that he's a UFC fighter. And how do you differentiate a UFC fighter from just a guy who beats the hell out of... Because we've seen guys in the WWE who just beat the hell out of people.
Well,
Case in point, Triple H.
I guess you would differentiate them.
That's all Brock did in the UFC is... And it was very smart for a guy of his body type. It was ground and pound. It was... He's very fast, and he would go for a takedown, so an edge-type spear, take you down, sit on top of you. And
then just bludgeon the shit out of you.
He's 200. The upper weight limit in the UFC for a heavyweight is 200. You have to get down to 265. Then we all know they go eat and gain like 10 pounds before the fight, just from hydrating, because they don't drink water for like 2 days.
Yeah.
So he's almost... He's probably fighting at 200. He was fighting at like 280 or 285.
Big boy.
He can hold you. I don't care how big you are. He can hold you down.
Yeah, if Brock Lesnar decides you're not going anywhere, you're not going anywhere.
But I don't care that you want to make him out to be the UFC guy. I know that he was in wrestling before he was in UFC, and I know what he did in the UFC. So just give it to me because it worked in the UFC. He beat the crap out of people.
Well, and if...
And he was all business.
If you go back and notice, ever since Brock has come back to the WWE, for whatever reason, they've had this infatuation with the Kimura lock. For whatever reason...
They're trying to make him out as this UFC guy, make him different. And
but
people,
don't do that!
People who really know him, who cares what he did in the UFC?
Exactly!
He doesn't have to be the... He was an ass kicker in the UFC. He's an ass kicker in the WWE, and he's all business.
And he was an ass kicker before he went to the UFC.
So, have Paul Heyman speak for him. Hold him back. Brock, no.
He's sorry.
No,
he didn't mean it.
He didn't mean it.
Those are the best promos ever.
Yes. And then I hate to be cliche, but flip the kill switch and get kill switch engaged to write him a song.
Well, then Christian's going to be pissed because whenever he goes for his move, the kill switch, it's time to engage the kill switch.
But
and then CM Punk's going to be pissed because Kill Switch did their song.
Yeah, well.
So we're going to have a Christian Cage, a CM Punk, a Bork Laser match for a kill switch engage song.
Hey, I would buy that.
As would everybody on the internet. You can almost, if you listen carefully, you can hear the IWC lubing themselves up over that analogy.
Yeah, I had to get a tissue.
Weird.
But no, he's all business. Have Paul Heyman be his mouthpiece and then switch him on and have him go out there and snap people's heads off and shove, for lack of a better word, snap their head off and shove it up their ass, because that's what people want to see.
Exactly. It's like,
I could
rile up the pit bull, poke at him, then take him off the leash and let him do his thing.
I would never get tired. Even in the UFC, I never got tired of seeing Brock Lesnar beat the crap out of people. Does not get old.
One of my most favorite segments of Raw this entire year is when 3MB was talking, then Brock Lesnar's music hits, and Brock Lesnar just eats 3MB alive.
Yeah, we don't have time for your crap. I got business to take care of.
Yeah, pretty much. Which, by the way, 3MB bumps like nobody's... I might be the biggest 3MB fan on the planet.
So... Just to put an ending on Extreme Rules.
Fantastic
good players.
Card. Love
fantastic
the card.
Fantastic card. Wrong play in the main event.
Exactly. Like that analogy I gave earlier. Two great football players running the play. They just happened to get a bad play. But that was Extreme Rules. We're going to take a quick break. Let you go get a beverage. We're going to go get some beverages. Beer, a.k.a. podcasting juice. Of course, from our sponsor, Body by Beer. The song in the background you hear is actually The Final Countdown. And you being the wrestling fan that you are, you might actually recognize it as Bryan Danielson's old song from Ring of Honor. But no, I'm not doing it for Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan or Daniel Danielson. I'm doing it because Arrested Development is back. There are new episodes of Arrested Development on Netflix. So as soon as you're done listening to this fine podcast, I suggest you go to Netflix.com, put in your login information, or if you're one of the five people on this planet that don't have Netflix, sign up for a 30-day account and watch Season 4 of Arrested Development. I've already watched it all. It's fantastic. I'm going to watch it again. And again, and again. I actually might go watch it in this break.
They have the first three seasons up there, too. Right?
Yeah, they have the first
three
seasons.
The whole series.
The whole series. And Netflix is the only place where you can catch season four. So why don't you go watch an episode of Arrested Development during this break, if you can do it in, you know, a minute and a half or whatever. But we'll see you on the other side of the break. Keep it locked right here. You're listening to Near Fall Radio on the Button Munch Chips Network. Illusions, Michael. Welcome back to Near Fall Radio here on the Buttmunch Chips Network. I am the Dawes, joined by my co-host, my tag team partner. What am I calling you this week? Rabback?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I really need to work on my nicknames.
We need to look for more wrestlers that had nicknames that had R in them.
Or more wrestlers need to have nicknames with R in them. Either one, the ball is in your court, wrestling community. I'm guessing we're
going to... Yay or nay on Rab Dango?
Rab Dango. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say, oh, God, no.
Okay.
That sounds terrifying.
Rab
though,
Dango.
Though I do have to wonder what your dance move would be. Actually, I don't have to wonder about that. I know I don't want to see it regardless of what it is.
This is all I can do.
Well, I guess it's these times when it's a very good thing we're an audio-only format as opposed to a audio-video format.
Yeah, when we get the weblog going and we get the webcam up, people are going to be screwed. They're going to tune out of this for sure.
Yeah, when we start live casting like we're fucking Mike and the Mike, or Mike and the Mike, or Mike and Mike and the Dan Patrick Show.
Mike and Ike in the morning.
Mike and Ike in the morning. I love that candy. It has that OJ taste to get me going in the AM, the aftertaste of sausage biscuits. Hey now.
Sausage biscuits. That's some good stuff.
That's something.
Speaking of something, let me ask you a question. Why was the Memorial Day edition of Raw in Canada?
That is a good question, because Raw opened this week with a very touching, very nice vignette of... it was John Cena talking about everything he'd done with the tribute to the troops, about every place he'd wrestled, and about how this is one of the things that he's most proud of with his career. And then at the very bottom of the screen, live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Don't get me wrong.
One of these things is not like the other. One of these things is not the same.
I like Canada. I've not been, but it sounds like an awesome place.
They made Bret Hart and Chris Jericho.
Yes.
So they're okay.
They made hockey.
They did make hockey.
And Molson.
And Crown Royal.
And Pam Anderson.
Is she good?
Yeah,
she is
Canadian. She got her start as a beer girl. I want to say Molson.
Though to be fair, Canadian might have born Pam Anderson, but I'm pretty sure an American surgeon made Pam Anderson. Boom! Boob joke, ladies and gentlemen. Keeping it high class right here on Near Fall Radio.
You can get full nude and drink liquor Or the girls can get full nude.
Well,
liquor at the strip establishment in Canada.
I was about to say, Landon's going to take a road trip to Canada and never come back. All naked, all drunk, all the time.
Yes. So you can see Bush.
Well, there's a promo right there.
Great place. America's hat. But on Memorial Day, you should...
Yeah.
I love Calgary. I love Montreal. They're a great crowd.
Well, and Calgary and Montreal are two different places, but what you're saying is you love Canada.
But not on Memorial Day. It just seems weird. Like, I'm not offended.
Yeah,
it's weird.
I'm sure there are people on the internet that took great exception to this. It's like, oh my God, Vince McMahon hates America. John Cena's the worst ever.
They took our dirt.
They took our dirt.
But speaking of Raw, other than that, it was just weird for on Memorial Day to talk about every break coming out of the break. Michael Cole's talking about how much he loves America.
And you're in Canada.
There. Well, I guess he's in North America, but anyway.
Technicalities for the win.
Fantastic, I thought, addition to Monday Night Raw.
In all honesty, this is probably one of the best Raws I've seen in the last 2 months. Easy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The open was great, and that leads to the first thing we really want to talk about that happened on Raw is they've changed the main event for Payback.
Yes, it is no longer a ambulance match. It is now for the fourth time ever in the WWE history. Three stages of hell match featuring John Cena and Ryback for the WWE Championship. The first stage of the three stages of hell is a lumberjack match. The second stage of hell in the three stages of hell match is a table match. And Rab, what do you think is the third stage in the three stages of hell match?
I'm guessing ambulance match.
Oh my God, you're right. Yes, so it is going to be an ambulance match.
I thought it was good. I would have been fine with just the ambulance match. I would have gone watch Payback for that because that would have been great coming off the Last Man Standing match. But I think this is I think you can argue about what you would like to see as the stages, but I think this is cool. It's unique. Like you said, they've only done it three times.
It's definitely unique. But at the same time, isn't an ambulance match unique in and of itself? I mean, when was the last time they had one of those? Wasn't it like Batista back in the, like, I want to say it was Batista and Cena, and that was like 3 or 4 years ago. But at the same time, it's like, I'm kind of glad they're moving away from the gimmick being strictly just an ambulance match because you can only do so much with that. You have to push somebody past a line on the entrance ramp.
Yeah.
Okay, neat. At least with the three stages of hell, you're going to have different aspects to the match.
You could have like a 30, I'm guessing it's going to be about 30-minute match. There's no way you can really do it and do it justice in less than that.
At least 30 minutes. I would say, all right, let's just go ahead and say this. It's going to go all three stages.
Well, yeah.
So you're looking, I would say closer to 45 than 30.
So that gives you 10 or 15 minutes a stage. So you can have a really good lumberjack match,
mm-hmm.
which I think I don't have some talking on Twitter Near Fall Radio with a friend of mine.
Twitter.com/Near Fall Radio.
Absolutely. At Near Fall Radio for those of you who speak Twitter.
Ah, you speak the twatter.
I speak the twatter on the Twitter machine. he didn't like it, but he didn't have a problem with the people. It wasn't, I just don't like John Cena.
John Cena needs to turn heel.
He didn't like the layout of the match, but there's only so much you can do.
Exactly. I mean, where do you go with the Ryback-Cena match? Because they just had a Last Man Standing match, so you can't go to that again. And we just saw a cage match between Triple H and Bork Laser. So, I mean, I guess you could go that route, but at the same time, you would almost get into the... You would almost get into the territory you're going to be stepping on your own toes.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. You want to be fresh. It's a match you don't do very often.
Exactly. I mean, this is the only fourth ever trip or three stages of hell match in WWE history. And ironically enough, all three of the previous matches featured Triple H.
I think it's perfect because you build off the history on the first stage, like Cena said. You know, Ryback has a history of leaving.
He does.
He left Cena a couple times. Cena almost left him when the Shield came out. They've played that story, that angle into the storyline. So you have a lumberjack match. And lumberjack matches are always good because you can get some sort of dirty interference and you make it interesting. And, you know, Ryback can get some outside help to win the first stage.
I'm actually expecting at some point in that lumberjack match for it to just break out into a 20-man schmoz brawl. Like I think every single one of the lumberjacks is going to start fighting every other lumberjack, and it's just going to be, at least at one point, let's just say there's going to be 20 people on the outside. It's going to turn into a 22-person just battle royal. They're not going to get in the ring and throw each other out, but it's just going to be a 22-person beatdown.
Yeah. I honestly think what's going to happen, I think Cena's going to lose the first stage. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then come back and even it up and have to
get
win
the
two
table
in a row,
fall and then
and get
then,
the table and then they'll go to the ambulance
and then
match.
Put the Ryback in the ambulance.
Yeah. And cuz that built, that's the classic John Cena, get him down and then he fights back. And people are tired of it. But that's what he does well, cuz he can sell that.
I mean, say what you will about John Cena, I still say this. John Cena is one of the best workers in the business today. Boo him, cheer him, whatever you want to do. John Cena is fantastic for professional wrestling.
He's great at telling a story.
He really is.
So
now, sometimes he'll get into that hard black preacher, I'm going to tell you about my main event this week. Yeah, he sometimes does that. But at the same time, overall, like, I would say that's like 10% of Cena. The other 90%? Fan freaking tastic.
Yeah. So we'll just put a wrap on the main event for Payback. You happy with the idea for the match and the stages and the overall construction of this match?
I'm intrigued. I don't know if I'd say I'm happy, but at the same time, I'm not exactly sure what other stipulations you would have. I definitely think it's cool that they're having the three stages of hell concept, because this is something they haven't broken out in forever. I mean,
and with so many gimmick pay-per-views.
Exactly.
That's why I don't care what the stages are. It's something you've done three times ever.
Very true. And that's a fantastic point, because people have been dogging on the WWE for so long, going with these gimmick matches, going with TLC, going with Hell in a Cell, going with Elimination Chamber, going with Extreme Rules. It's like, okay, all of these matches are having tacked on stipulations just because the name of the pay-per-view. This is something the WWE hasn't broken out in like 5 years.
Yeah, like 2008, Triple H, Randy Orton.
Yeah,
three stages of hell.
Been a while since we've seen a three stages of hell match. So
and that was always one of my favorites to play when you play a WWE video game.
Well, yeah, because you get three matches out of one. I mean, that right there is a dollar for your value.
And we all talk about how we dollar, yeah, we all talked about how we liked the best of sevens that they used to do in WCW.
Yes, with
like
Booker
that.
T and Wrestling Voldemort.
Yeah, and that's kind of bringing that in and putting it in a package where you can do it in one night.
Like I said, I'm intrigued. I don't know if I'm necessarily looking forward to it, but I'll definitely pay attention to it. And coming off of their match at Elimination Chamber, I'm definitely interested to see what these two have left to do. Because eventually, I mean, I think you might have referenced this, and I have to agree with it. I feel like this is going to be the last match between these two for a while, then they're going to move this to the back burner. But eventually, we're going to see John Cena and Ryback go at it again for the title again. But I feel like at this point, this is going to be the last time we see those two cross paths, at least for like 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Mm-hmm. Like we might see this come back around at the beginning of next year, around SummerSlam, Royal Rumble time.
And the great thing is, in the last calendar year, yes, Ryback has had two shots at the WWE Championship.
But I don't think anybody ever thought he was going to, you know, walk away with the strap.
No, but what I'm saying is, he hasn't won those, but it's not like John Cena was in the midst of a long title reign. So if he loses to Cena, he can still come back and say he wants more Cena. He has unfinished business. He still has his title. You don't have to stretch the imagination.
Very true.
To build the storyline back. And sometimes I think that's good, because when you try to do too much is when it gets to be a mess.
Yeah, definitely when... What's the old adage? Kiss, Keep It Simple, Stupid.
Mm-hmm. Don't have too many chefs.
Exactly.
Stirring the pot. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need five chefs making one meal. Whenever you start to overthink it, that's when things get convoluted. Just keep it simple. Ryback. I mean, this isn't our prediction podcast, and I don't even know if we're going to have one of those because I think predictions are kind of dumb. But at the same time, it's like, I think Cena walks away from this one beating Ryback. But at the same time, he is not done with Ryback in any stretch of the imagination.
No, you had that rubber match down the road. You bring the feud back, and because, I mean, they had the Extreme Rules match, and nobody really won that. But both guys
except the fans
can kind of claim it, and then Cena will kind of have his, but it's not definitive. You haven't definitively settled that feud. It's really 1-1, so to speak.
Absolutely.
But the other thing that the big thing that happened on Raw, the other great segment, the thing we want to talk about here on the show this week, Near Fall Radio, Butt Munch Chips.
Twitter.com/Near Fall Radio. Yes. Hey, now.
Get those plugs in.
Plugs all the time, all the plugs.
All the plugs, yes. The highlight reel was back.
Yes, and boy was it back.
I remember as a younger kid when I really didn't like Chris Jericho because
How could you hate against Y2J?
Well, because when I was younger, I was all about the storylines and whoever was the heel.
Yeah, but I was a young Jericho-holic. Well, I even had a WCW Monday Night Jericho shirt. WCW, let me reemphasize that.
I like the faces, and if you were the heel and he was being the heel, and now I don't know, I'm kind of more open-minded about it. But I always thought the highlight reel was a dumb name, but it doesn't matter what the name is.
It has Chris Jericho in it, so it's going to be entertaining. But yeah, for the last 5 years, Chris Jericho has hosted the Revolver Golden Gods Award, and it being a metal show, it looks like, especially this year, he imbibed on some spirits, so to speak. Of course, I'm not judging him because it's a metal show. I mean, shit, if Metallica was backstage like they were, I'd be doing Jaeger shots with them. Well, not James Hetfield because, you know, he's a recovering alcoholic. What's up, Het? But other than, just like, seriously, I would have been doing the exact same thing. But it's like Jericho is out there doing his thing. Jericho knows how to make a mic dance, much like his guest this week on the highlight reel, Paul Heyman.
Yeah. And speaking of Paul Heyman, might want to check it out, top 25 managers rated by WWE.com.
Yeah, we're going to tease that. .com recently put out a top 25 list of their all-time managers. We're actually going to be having a show on that. We're going to be breaking down our top fives, maybe top tens if we want to go long. Top tens, okay.
Top tens.
We just had an executive decision here on
like to do
a, live podcasting.
I like to do all the show prep on the show. Paul Heyman was number two, so I didn't. I felt listening to that like I overinflated him because I'm such a Paul Heyman guy. But now I feel
you are
stupid.
A Paul Heyman guy, but at
That's
the same
a good
time,
thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because if this Curtis Axel fella doesn't work out, I hear you're next in line to get a shot at John Cena.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, that is not awesome. That is the opposite of awesome.
But Heyman was a guest on the highlight reel.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
And that had, I hate to, because Punk wasn't there, but that had Pipe Bomb written all over it.
It was a fantastic segment. I mean, you could definitely tell WWE creatives, like, all right, you two know what you're doing. Go out there and do your thing.
Two of the best talkers in the business.
I said on Twitter, those two could read out of a phone book and it would still be entertaining.
You know what we should do instead of doing a whole show?
Not do a show?
Breaking down the managers. We should just do a list show because we could do three or four different top five good things and just do a list show.
Well, you need to shut your mouth because you just spoiled our summer podcasting format because much like school, WWE also takes the summer off.
Well, whatever. I mean, we're just giving whatever. I'm not gonna have a show argument on the show, even though that'd be good, because we'll just get sidetracked.
I'm going kayfabe, motherfuckers.
but two of the best mic guys in the business. You talk about the phone book. Jericho pretty much did that when he wrote off his list of maneuvers.
Move 34. Armbar.
I think somehow we've worked that into just about every episode.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've definitely mentioned the Jericho bar. List with armbar several times. One more time, armbar. Japanese armbar. I do want to say during that promo, he mentioned armbar 3 or 4 times. So I'm just keeping true to the gimmick, I guess.
But you know, Jericho didn't want to talk about Curtis Axel and
or Brock Lesnar.
I really thought that's where it was going, is because they're trying to build up Curtis Axel. I thought Curtis Axel was going to be a part of the highlight reel. I didn't realize this is Heyman, and I was fine with it just being Heyman. But I thought that was.
I kind of feel like if it was going to be Curtis Axel, they would have been putting his mug up there with Paul Heyman.
But it's leading to what has been agreed upon as a match,
a WrestleMania rematch, if you were.
A WrestleMania rewind from 2012.
A rewind,
I
like that.
That's what they like to call them, right? Apparently at Payback, we're supposed to have Chris Jericho versus CM Punk, because that's what Chris Jericho wanted to know about. He wanted to know what was up with CM Punk.
Yeah.
He wanted to know why CM Punk had lost his smile.
Lost his smile. Shawn Michaels have some theories on that. But yeah, we're going to have a return of the best in the world versus the best at what he does in the world or something. Yeah, if we're going to have Jericho and Punk again, I mean, I'm not questioning these two. They are both, like, in my lifetime, they're both two of the best workers to step foot in a ring. In my lifetime, I'm 28 years old. I literally, my first memory is watching wrestling, so I've watched wrestling for a long time, and these two, I can say without a doubt, are two of the best workers I've ever seen. But at the same time, their program last year at Mania and following Mania was not all that good. It really wasn't.
It really wasn't, and that match really got lost in the middle of the card.
It really, and that's the very disappointing thing, because these two are so talented in the ring, they're so talented on the mic, yet when you mix them together, I don't want to say it's a water and vinegar thing, but at the same time, it's like, it just feels like for whatever reason, at least last year, their styles didn't jive.
I still think, though, if they do it, they actually go through with it, even if Punk doesn't have a match. Because he's going to be at Payback.
Oh, he's absolutely going to be in Payback.
He's going to do something. I think they can just go with the gimmick of who's better. Kind of refreshment. I mean, was that what they were doing at Mania? They were kind of doing that.
That's what they were
Punk
doing.
Punk had his best in the world thing going, and Jericho shows up. He's like, I started what you did. I did this 10 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, you said pretty much the exact same promo he did when he started going after Punk. He said, "You're calling yourself best in the world. Well, guess what? I've been calling myself the best at what I do for X amount of years, and I've been backing it up." I mean, that's exactly what they were going for, and for whatever reason, it fell short. Of course, they also brought in the stupid angle where it's like, I'm Chris Jericho, so I'm going to make CM Punk drink booze because he's straight edge, and I know that your dad was an alcoholic, and your sister was a drug addict, and your mother was a cat.
That's going back to what we were talking about, KISS.
Keep it simple, stupid.
They overthought that whole angle.
Well, I mean, maybe they thought since it was Mania, they had to build up this big spectacle. They had to make the good guy versus bad guy. They had to give you a reason to cheer for the good guy going against the bad guy. But they really didn't, especially when that's what they decided. Oh, so you're straight edge, but your father was a drunk, and your sister was a drug addict, and your mother was a Salisbury.
Maybe it's just because you and I are...
Don't say smarks. Do not say smarks.
I'm not saying smarks.
We'll leave that to our fans to say.
We can appreciate wrestling for wrestling. We don't need the gimmick that we would want to see them just argue about that. But honestly, that would work. I really think, even though it's kind of what they did, I really think it would work. This is them arguing. We've seen people argue over stupider things. Japanese shampoo commercial, right?
Or, yeah. Shit, you took the words out of my mouth, Japanese shit. But here's the thing. It's like,
wait, they had an argument over Japanese shit?
Okay, we might be talking about two different angles, and I'm not sure.
I'm just messing with you.
The angle I'm referencing is a safe for internet earballs, so to speak. But,
wow.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like these two, I'm not denying their talent at all. They are two of the most talented workers I've ever seen, especially in my lifetime. I mean, I said Jericho was one of the best talkers or best workers. I mean,
both.
Yeah, and you can put Punk in that same category. Punk hadn't been doing it nearly as long as Jericho, but at the same time, the body of work is there that you can't deny it. Dude knows what he's doing, and he kicks ass at what he's doing.
Has to be long-term, and when I say long-term, minimum three-match, pay-per-view match deal.
I still don't think Punk is going to show up to wrestle.
Punk is not going to wrestle at Payback.
I stand by the statement we don't see Punk in the ring until Mania. Or not Mania, excuse me, SummerSlam. SummerSlam is when we see CM Punk return to the ring.
Yeah, but by then you killed 3 months of them arguing with each other and they haven't had a match. I think part of the thing is, and...
Well, that's the thing. It's like Chris Jericho is going to be gone in July, isn't he?
I don't know.
Going back on tour with Fozzy. Didn't you tell me like 4 or 5 weeks ago that was the latest we heard on his contract that he was going to hang around until July and then Fozzy's taken off to go tour Europe, and I'm a metalhead, will be and will always be. Fozzy ain't my thing, but Fozzy is ginormous in Europe. Europe loves that type of metal, so. And if Chris Jericho wants to go be a rock star, he's going to go be a rock star. At this point in his career, he doesn't need to be on the road 200, 300 days a year.
If he's not, I wonder if he's not going to wrestle at Payback, what are they doing with us?
Teasing us. Keeping CM Punk in our lexicon. Making us remember CM Punk is still a thing. Because up until this week, if you remember, we hadn't seen Punk until he lost his smile and walked out on Paul. Two Mondays after Mania, because he wasn't on the Monday after Mania. They were teasing CM Punk will come and let us know what he thinks about his match at Mania.
No, he came out the match at Mania, and that's when he walked out.
Exactly. So we haven't seen him since then, and that was 2 weeks after Mania. So it's been at this point almost 2 months since we've seen CM Punk. I feel like they're doing this to keep CM Punk in our brain, on our tongues, not so literally.
There's not going to be a payback at Payback. There's not going to be a payoff at Payback for this.
Yep,
and then
pretty
Jericho's going to leave, so why would you do it?
Again, to keep CM Punk in the forefront of people's thoughts.
I guess I'm overthinking it, but again, I'm trying to keep it simple.
I mean, I could be completely wrong. For all I know, CM Punk and Chris Jericho could go out there and have a 5-star match, you know, burn down Chicago Arena, wherever the hell they're having this.
Rosemont Horizon.
Sure, okay, that place. They could go out there and destroy the Rosemont Horizon. I don't think I said that right, but I don't care. But at the same time, I just don't think Punk is going to be back at Payback.
I think he could show up and not wrestle at Payback, and I don't know what the pay-per-view...
No, I definitely think we're going to see him.
He's going to show up and not wrestle at Payback, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
okay.
That's my prediction.
And that gets some heat, but he gets back in and he spars with Jericho, so to speak, verbally. And...
I honestly don't know if he picks up a microphone. I honestly think we're going to hear Cult of Personality play, we're going to look at the ramp, and nobody's going to come out. I honestly feel like we're going to get some vignette of him backstage being like, yeah, no, I'm not doing this. I didn't agree to it. My manager agreed to it.
Okay, that would make sense. But if you're, 'cause that would be a big thing for him to kind of turn on Paul. But that would make sense because Jericho could leave and Paul would be mad.
Yeah, you're talking
Punk.
About what would they do. I mean, Punk or Jericho's going overseas to go with Europe or go overseas to
Europe. The light bulb just came on.
There you go, yeah.
Jericho
figuring it out.
Yes. CM Punk, Bork Laser, SummerSlam.
I don't know
Boom.
If we're going to see it at
Stop
SummerSlam,
the show.
But at the same
near
time.
Fall, near Fall Radio, we need not say more.
I don't know if it's going to be at SummerSlam, but I do think down the line we're going to see Brock Lesnar, all of them. We're going to see that go against CM Punk, and we're going to see a Paul Heyman guy versus a Paul Heyman guy.
You can do that more than once, though, because they've never really worked against each other. You can get several
matches.
They've
never worked against each other. Yeah. And that's the interesting thing. Punk is this like very wiry, like submission-based dude. He's not the strongest guy in the world, but he'll wear you down, you know, piece by piece, where Brock Lesnar is like just going to bludgeon you with a sledgehammer. Sorry,
I don't know that you would have to carry the feud all the way to WrestleMania, but Brock Lesnar doesn't work all the time. He works part-time. So you could carry it and get a couple pay-per-views out of it, and then...
Well, that is the thing. Because
there is a pay-per-view in between Payback and SummerSlam, right?
Isn't it TLC?
It's something.
But yeah, I mean,
or Money in the Bank.
There's definitely a paper. Yeah, it's Money in the Bank. There's definitely a pay per view in between June and August.
So if Punk turns on Paul and is like, "No, I didn't agree to this. You spoke for me. Don't speak for me."
And
then you can build and build, and they have that. They have a match at Money in the Bank. Or they have something at Money in the Bank, and then you burn it off at SummerSlam, and you do ultimately what you want to do, your big match at SummerSlam, and make that your main event.
And a couple weeks ago, CM Punk went on Twitter. Somebody asked him, was like, "So where are you?" And he responded, "I'm right where I want to be." So I'm feeling like Punk would really like to just hang out, going to Cubs games, going to Blackhawk games. Well, wait, are the Blackhawks still playing?
Yeah, they're game seven tonight.
All right,
Western Conference semifinals.
That is where CM Punk is going to be. I really feel like Punk is just enjoying being away from the grind of it all. And CM Punk a couple years ago said he only has like 5 more years in him, and then he's going to walk away. Like, CM Punk is not going to be one of those individuals. He's not going to be freaking Hulk Hogan. He's not going to be Ric Flair. These people, these skeletons, for lack of a better term, that are hanging on.
He's going to do TV, though.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Punk is just as talented behind a microphone as he is in a ring.
He will do TV. Just like Edge will do TV when Edge decides he doesn't want to hang out in the woods anymore.
Well, I think Edge is on some sci-fi show. Warehouse 13, I think.
But I'm saying like he's gonna contribute to the WWE again. He'll just never wrestle again.
Yeah,
and they'll never involve him in story. They'll never get him like
get
Jerry
him in the
Lawler
ring.
Works.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what came out of Raw.
Yeah, that's
and Curtis Axel looks to be
right. Curtis Axel, I have to say, I was not a fan at all of Michael McGillicuddy. Michael McGillicuddy for the longest time was the equivalent to a bathroom break. I would rather watch a Diva match than a Michael McGillicuddy match. But for whatever reason, you give this dude a new name and you put Paul Heyman with him, especially after this week, dude looked like $1 million in the ring.
We need to wrap up here soon, obviously, I know. But I think they do that with a lot of those NXT guys. They just want to get them out and see if they can work. They did it in FCW. They want to get them out in front of a WWE crowd and see if they can handle it. And with the Nexus thing, they needed bodies because it was that gang mentality. I just want to see them work. And they just give them vanilla to see if they can handle the biz.
Well, it's interesting you
bring
up
them back and with a new name.
Well, it's interesting you bring up Michael McGillicuddy's stay in the Nexus and being renamed to Curtis Axel. The other second season NXT member that was brought up to the Nexus was Husky Harris, and we saw a vignette on him this week as Bray Wyatt. And Jesus Christ, I am a Bray Wyatt fan, just based on that vignette.
That's going to be fun if they don't.
I'm looking forward to the Bray Wyatt family. But Husky Harris, I was always a big fan of his in-ring work. He was agile for a big dude, but he also had the power to do big dude moves. But at the same time, we've talked about Raw, and we're moving into the setup for Payback, we got a couple weeks to talk about Payback, and we'll be back to do that again. I thank you for listening to this episode of Near Fall Radio. I would also like to point out, if you're a Venture Brothers fan, we're recording this on May 29th. The Venture Brothers Season 5 premiere is coming up this Sunday, and I'm going to be posting a never-before-heard interview with Doc Hammer, the creator of the Venture Brothers, and James Urbaniak, the voice of Dr. Venture, on this fine website right here. Of course, it's been heard on WMTS, but the show we were on was canceled before it was aired, so whoops. So I guess this would be a web world debut, but yeah, that's called a tease. Rab, would you like to tease anything before we get out?
I'm good, man. I've said enough.
Fair enough. All right. Well, for the Rab back, Will Rab, I am Landon Doan. Thanking you for joining us for another episode of Near Fall Radio right here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips.
Sit on your butt munch.
Illusions, Michael.